Hello everybody, this is Victor here from Trend Following Trading for Beginners, and here's my weekly update on my Sambo trading portfolio, coming up next. Welcome back guys, welcome back for another week of my podcast. It's been, again, a relatively quiet week, so not much going on Dow Jones-wise, but there's a lot of activities that are a bit funny things going on, especially basically the results of some tech company and then how gold and reacted when the job increase in U.S. market was announced, and basically just let's go right into it. Throughout the week, like I said, Dow Jones sort of like gone sideways, haven't done much, you know, gone up a little bit, and then suddenly big down, and then big up, and then big down again. So relatively going sideways as if there's a top happening. Now, is it a temporary top or an actual top? I have no idea, but given things are actually where it's in May now, lockdown in UK anyway is easing. America's still suffer a lot from the COVID-19 thing, but shops are starting to open, more people are going back to work, so which is a good thing. But unfortunately, it also shows that as the market is going rather, you know, funnies in a way. So first of all, let's talk about some of those results. You know, Tesla came out, I think, last Tuesday with the result, trading result, and it's like, you know, up a little bit initially, and then result came in and actually gone down at 4%. The main thing takeaway on this one is the $1.5 billion US dollar that Elon Musk purchased back in February when he's announced it. He actually started selling some of it and make like sold about $272 million, and still got like $1.2 billion left or whatever around that area. But also the other thing is, in the results also talk about receiving regulatory credit. I don't know what that is. Probably, you know, some credit from our local government to actually having the shops there, you know, the factory in whatever the places in America, and they're taking some money from the government, that kind of thing, you know, for possibly because of the lockdown and some credit from the government, that kind of thing. But however, the other thing that I look at is the Model S and Model X, and actually the sale price of average have gone down to 10 or 13%. I mean, just think of it that way. If a company is making money like Apple when it first came out with iPhone, when everybody wants it, it will try to keep that margin, right? But for some reason, I mean, Tesla to me is like iPhone for a mobile phone, you know, it's really, really nice, and it's good to have that kind of thing. But how to actually have reduced price, quite concerned on that one. Okay, you can say the Chinese factory comes in, and because in China the average wage is cheaper than America or so forth, and therefore it's cheaper. But wouldn't you want to keep that profit margin, just like iPhone have been doing, and to increase share price rather than, you know, reduce the price. That also basically, I think, means is the competition in Asia as well as around the world is quite fierce, and also people have, you know, a lot of them lost jobs. And remember, this is a high ticket purchase. Same thing for Apple, which I'm talking about later. People without a job, they just have enough money perhaps, you know, from the government checks to just barely survive, you know, probably cannot even pay all the rent and everything else, to actually go out and get a model, get a car, you know, quite high-end car for Tesla. It's quite a nice car, but also quite high-end, and therefore the price actually came down. It's quite logical. But the other thing also concerning is it made quite a bit of money out of course, the timely purchase and then sell some of the products. Bitcoin. Bitcoin has been quite volatile, and if a company actually take this as whatever the purchase or gain or loss as a into the account of its balance sheet, then what happened if Bitcoin go to the moon, so to speak? Of course, Tesla will make loads of money out of it. But let's say due to recent volatility, and Bitcoin actually gone down, let's say down by half, then what happens? A lot of his money or this whatever he's made, you know, gone down by half, you know, wiped out. It's quite concerning that company have such a high reliance, in my view, on another trading instruments. So in this case, it's Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin go up, yeah, Tesla making loads of money. It gone down, I think go hit the overall result of Tesla. And I think people sort of slowly reading through between the line and find that makes sense. And that's why the result came out from Tesla, and then Judy, so next day is down like 4% or something, down $33. It recovers a bit, but it's still, you know, down to, you know, I think just back to where the, before the announcement or something. So haven't actually, you know, go up like what we have happened in 2020, you know, before the pandemic, that kind of thing. And then next, obviously, is the HSBC. You know, that's another funny thing that's going on. And I understand, my understanding is, it's been talked about a lot in Asia, it suddenly made the pre-tax profit of 79%. How the hell we can make so much profit in a general market around the world? I mean, this is for, you know, the result of this first 3 months or something. With, you know, most of Europe still under, you know, some sort of lockdown, a lot of COVID-19 running around cases. Okay, yeah, China is, and Hong Kong is main focus, but it just come out from basically the COVID-19 lockdown, and also just before the COVID-19, also there's the social unrest in Hong Kong. To actually, to, you know, didn't make that much money last year, and then suddenly this year make, you know, about this first 3 months, big 79% increase is a question mark. And when you actually look into it, it was due to some sort of new accounting rules. So last year, they put aside quite a lot of money to cover bad loans and stuff. They haven't actually materialized yet, which I think it will, but just take a bit longer. And then, of course, the accounting will allow them to take some of the money back out into the balance sheet, and basically, you know, the profit margins gone, the profitability of the company actually gone back up. Therefore, this is why the 79% increase. But how long will it last? I don't think so. You know, just look at how, I mean, it tried to move itself back from Europe and back into Asia, but I personally feel, you know, it has let down the Chinese people or Asian people in general, you know, by, you know, working together with America and attacking Huawei. I think the Chinese government is not going to be, you know, acting quite nicely to HSBC one way or another. So the other Asian countries is more like a standard charter area. Make more money over there. So I'm not quite sure how HSBC stabilized it can be, but it basically just show you how the share price actually went up last week, because based on this, you know, recent result, and it just scratching my head how company can make so much money all because some sudden, you know, tax rules, and then the money taken back out from the bad loan that been put aside or cover those bad loan, then coming back up into the balance sheet. And you can actually see that I don't believe HSBC is making too much money, making too much headway. Probably making some, but not 79%. But the share price actually gone up, and nobody seems to talk about it in Europe much. A lot of it in Asia, but I haven't seen any much about talking about HSBC in UK or America. The other thing, of course, is Apple. Apple result came out, and then Judy went down. It looks good, it looks great, but then, you know, it was up initially, and then but the whole day throughout trading, it just reversed. Again, it's just very much similar to Tesla. Apple is a great product, just like its computer and so forth. It has a band of hardcore users who really like Apple, but it's cost a lot of money. And then with the pandemic, you know, causes a lot of people lost their jobs, rely on government checks, or rely on their savings. With people still go around actually buying high-end purchases, you know, including high expensive mobile phone or Tesla's car, and especially for anyway in Asia, I think people just coming back out from COVID-19, just like UK and US, I don't think they'll be able to buy so much of this high-end stuff. So whatever they say, you know, it's still making good money. People like their iPhones and so forth. I'm not quite sure. I question that overall. Maybe they found a niche somewhere. They're still able to buy and sell those phones and stuff. But overall, also with the China and US spat, okay, have not as vigorous as President Donald Trump had done to China, but President Joe Biden hasn't lowered any tariffs, still have a bit of spat with the Chinese government, and so forth. There's already, I mean, a couple of years already talk about Chinese users on the internet actually say don't buy American stuff. And, you know, with all this hoo-ha going between the two countries, Apple probably will get hit, so is Tesla, I personally believe. So I think, again, people read between the lines, think, okay, and under this current situation with the pandemic still running around and so forth, you know, the share price, as far as I'm concerned, is a bit too high. I think the market actually tells us that as well. And this thing all coupled together basically just say something that, you know, people don't have much money in one side, you know, and therefore they want to put more money on food and clothes and make sure they're scarce, water, electricity, you know, paying out some of the loans and stuff. They people really don't have much extra money to buy things. But then on the other hand, if you look at the lumber. Wood prices, basically lumber, future prices gone up quite a lot over the last, you know, year, 15 months or so. Ever since the lockdown, people were forced to, those are still lucky, able to keep their job, you know, work remotely, don't go to office and meet the counterparts or colleagues, you know, at much, much reduced rate. So they work from home a lot. And a lot of them, you actually heard or read about it already, they move from cities, you know, congested city area into countryside, you know, so where they can buy more space, so to speak, or a bigger house for the money. And it's happening in both Europe as in US. And the lumber future price in US basically soared apparently from last year around similar time, April, early May time, $300-$400 to like 1200 now, you know, 1230 area. And that is like a threefold increase, 300% increase. And of course the house prices, you know, gone up as well. Not in the central of town like Manhattan or New York, but you know, well, remote area, same thing for UK. We have towns that for summer holidays town, so to speak. You know, Newquay, down south here, southwest of England. A lot of those prices have gone up quite a bit. And those houses basically on the market for a couple of weeks and suddenly just gone because those people just buy them because they now more or less figure out they can work remotely from home for myself. I don't know when I will go back to office, even though the lockdown easing and all these rules coming out. It's unlikely actually to go in the office, maybe once a month, once maybe every 3 months or something. But very likely, from as far as I heard from my boss, I just stay remote, you know, working remotely. So so on that front, it's quite, you know, basically things seem to be moved quite differently. And this one, the lumber price, of course, you know, coming with the higher increase of, like, you know, general food stuff, it's quite expensive getting, you know, you notice it, not much. I personally believe inflation's coming, therefore just go back, piggyback to gold. I mean, gold, for I think Thursday or Friday, US come out with a very good, you know, job numbers, you know, increase or whatever. But it is like, people keep on saying new job created. It's not created. People have lost their jobs, a lot of companies have to fold and close, and those jobs, it just temporarily lost, they just recover some of those jobs. It's not yet back in full swing, not even half or something, and for some reason the market make a big quick strive about it. But then you look at gold, it normally when the US job market is strong, whatever the reason behind it, gold price should tank. But it didn't really tank. The 10 years and 30 years treasury yields actually went up. And that means the treasury, your treasury prices, actually the bond price gone down. And you can look at the TLT ETF, the price actually gone down last week as well a bit. And so people expect normally, the thinking is, okay, people don't go into bonds because they can go into share market. But the stock market for the last week or two is not moving much in US, you know. And S&P 500 seems to make a new high. Dow Jones seems to be just going a bit sideways. It's not going, you know, continue making extra high, new high like the last 2-3 weeks or so. Nasdaq seems to have recovered quite a bit, but still more or less to me anyway, it's not making much of a new high, and it's going on the sideways kind of thing. So where did the money go? Then that's a good question. And gold didn't actually go down. Normally, you have thought, you know, gold will go down quite a bit, but it didn't. So it, all these different things, just wrong signals coming out. You know, we've been told all along when people are taking money out of bonds and going into the stock market. The stock market, in this case, not moving up. And you say, when people are taking money out of bonds and going to the stock market, the gold and silver are supposed to go down. It didn't. I mean, you just look at copper last year, where I talked about quite a bit. Made quite a bit of, you know, headway, and this year again is continuing. And I think this tied down with the restructuring plan or whatever infrastructure, some things that President Joe Biden is talking about for America. And it's going to just drive more inflation. Things just generally, stuff get more expensive. I think this is what Jerome Powell actually foreseen, or type of thing that, you know, the government might be thinking. Therefore, it's moving the inflation goalpost like above 2%. The government or the Fed to do something about interest rate. The basically the underlying economy just couldn't take it, so that's why he just moved the goalpost and say, you have to see a lot of inflation first, actually, before they probably most likely be behind the curve. They actually want to see some real increase in interest or inflation before they actually move any interest rate. I mean, one thing is the economy couldn't take it. Secondly is I think they probably have to wait for the inflation to come up quite a bit before they actually move, because they want to give time for the economy to recover a bit before increase taxes or increase interest rate, so to speak. So all these are actually happening, and one way or another don't seem to make sense. And gold price, like last time when the Treasury yield went up, back in March or February time, you know, it went down quite a bit to 1650, 1640, that area. It didn't reach out at all this time. It went down to 1672 or something around that area. And then the same day it bounced back up, went back up to 1670 or 1672, 75, that kind of thing. And now it seems to have gone back up now again. And so that's quite a bit actually telling us that, you know, somehow something underneath behind the scene is giving support to gold and silver. And silver seems to be, like before, lagging behind gold, when it go up, lagging behind gold when it going down as well. So it seems to be, silver seems to be have a better chart pattern. We'll talk about later on. We'll look at the portfolio in the next section of my podcast. But it's basically just showing you that something is actually going on here. I think there will be inflation coming out. It's going to be good for gold, but the other thing also good for is crude oil. I believe, you know, even the countries tanking, just like back in 2007, 2008, 2009 or 10 or so, you know, the crude oil went to $140 US dollars per barrel. So I think similar thing might be happening. It's very much of a mixture of different things of what history have done. So it would be useful just to watch out on gold this year. Basically for me, it's gold, and secondly, it's crude oil prices, and essentially just commodity. You know, the grains have gone up a lot as well. Probably not too much, but lumber, like you see, I say earlier, gone up 300%. Silver continue to move up, and steel, I believe that's also the case as well. So I think all this, the main material that for a growing economy is actually gone up. So yeah, the economy recovering, but things just got more expensive. Just simply, in my view, is it's just too much dollar running around chasing things, and U.S. dollars, in my view, is quite dangerously in a funny situation. I think it might lose quite a bit of money soon. So I don't know, it's just my hunch, but the trend following actually telling me the system is there's something going on. What all these traditional fundamental things that, you know, we talked about, we've been told about by the financial media, don't seem to be making sense to us trend followers. The trend seems to be doing something else. So as far as I'm concerned, is just watch out. I think gold this year, definitely, as far as I'm concerned myself, is this year's a year of gold. Later on, after that, is I think in a lesser extent also to crude oil as well. But I think it will run into next year or next couple of years. But I think definitely this year, gold is definitely, I will continue to concentrate on that. But on the other hand, then also, if my analysis is correct, that means US dollars might be weakening somehow. So all the currency crosses, anything that rated in US dollars got to, you know, go on the other way, basically on sky high, basically take more US dollars, buy the same amount of stuff for foreign exchange or materials or gold or metal, whatever. So I think because if that's happening, the inflation will happen even more. And that's just going to be, you know, quite going to be a fire underneath, or Rockefeller underneath gold account stuff, I think, as the US dollar tanks. But people have been talking about US dollars tanking for years. We see down, obviously, seems to not going much inflation-wise, and gold's only recently sort of show a bit of movement. But we just have to wait and see how it goes, because trend following, when it trends, when it continues, it takes some time. And a lot of times it go further than what we thought. So fundamentals actually go out of windows, because people, basically the market, trend following, we're trading, people's emotion. Motion can go either way, go extreme high, extreme low. We saw that last year, extreme low, and then recovery got extreme high, even though the economy doesn't really cover it. I think similar thing will happen in gold again. We just have to wait and see how it goes. So that's enough of my moan for this week, an update, and let's have a quick look of our portfolio. Okay, first off the bat is Apple. Short term is a buy, medium is neutral, long term is a buy, similar as last week. Next is Amazon, short term is a buy, medium term now is also a buy, and long term is a buy, so slight change here for the medium term from neutral last week to long to buy this week. Next is US dollar against Australian dollar against US dollar. Not much change from last week, still buy for short term, medium term, neutral, long term is a buy, but over this on the US dollar index, FYI. Like I said, you know, when the US job number comes out. I think Thursday and Friday gone up to like 91.2, 91.3 area. So it bounced quite a bit very, very quickly. And this is why I was so surprised I didn't see a very large reversal of the gold price. It sort of did, went down like $20, $21 on Thursday, but then the recovery still only lost like $5 or something. So it's very strong for gold. But I also think that the US dollar's recent bounce is just like temporarily, and people overall long term think the US dollar's coming down, so just have to watch what's going to happen. Next is Brent crude. Short term is a buy, medium is neutral, long term is a buy. Same thing for WTI crude oil, the Western Texas Instrument oil. Short term is also a buy, medium is neutral, long term is a buy. So like I said earlier, gold and crude oil basically is a big thing for us to trade, the traders to trade. And I think personally, crude oil, it has made quite a bit of money last year. It's sort of like gone sideways for a month or two. And I think that's still got legs. It's just continued to go up with the inflation definitely coming in, US dollar tanking. It's in May now, first week of May. I think got to see quite a bit more in volatility and maybe upward movement. So just watch this space and wait and see. Next is Stax in Germany. Short term is a sell, medium term, long term is also a buy, so no change from last week. Next is Dow Jones, buy across the board. And short term, medium, long term is buy. But also, the other thing worth watch out for is not just the market seems to be going sideways, not making new high at the moment, and also the histogram. The MACD histogram has gone red. So that means, as far as I'm concerned, the strength of the upward movement is slowing down. But it might still got legs, I don't know, just wait and see. Next is FTSE 100. Short term is a sell, medium, long term is also a buy. So, basically, the pandemic here in the UK is not anything better. Yes, we have easing of lockdown, but overall, I think that there's quite a number of problems in UK that's showing up. I think US will have the same thing. Like a restaurant and pubs, they started opening, but a lot of people got laid off, and therefore they moved to do delivery or something else. And people in general just couldn't find the restaurants and pubs couldn't find people that's available right away, and they're having, you know, pay slightly higher wage at the moment, which is strange. But it's good for people who are still employed, and which is one good stone on the horizon. But then on the other hand is a lot of big company, like there's one for car parking, NCP I believe it's called. We have to ask is landlords, you know, who rent them the space, you know, rent out the carving space for parking, you know, to each his friend. Just like, you know, big shopping center. Nobody's going out, only recent last couple of weeks people start coming out, but a lot of them, you know, get used to now remote ordering food, ordering clothes, ordering bits and bobs. Some of them just don't even want to go out to park places. The young one probably do, but the older people a bit less, you know, wanting to go out until they got more vaccinated. Population actually going around before, you know, got this herd in immunization, so to speak. So it's safe for people to go out. So overall, I just see, you know, like I said last year already, you know, a lot of like, not just residential, you know, you and I living in a house, having problem paying our rent or mortgage because you lost a job, something. Same thing for, you know, commercial landlords and commercial tenants, you know, like clothing shop, you know, there's just no people buying and going to a shop or a shoe shop. They have to all go online kind of thing, you know. And the sudden burst of people going into the shop nowadays because the relaxation of the lockdown rules, yeah, you get sudden burst of people going in, you know, the trade seems very, very nice, but how can it make up to all the losses done in the last 12 to 15 months? You know, you can't. So those companies are still able to survive, you know, just have a tough time even to get the payback all the old loans, and let alone all this like gas, water, electricity, and then the government taxation, have to still have to pay back VAT, everything else. So it's a big burden for anybody who survived, but at least they got a job and it is going on, but it takes some time to all this to go back. And so I mean, UK actually seen, I'm sure US and other area in the world will face the same problem. Next is gold. Short term is a buy, medium long term still neutral, so just continue short term wise recovery. We'll continue. I personally feel there's legs this rebound. I was expecting when the US job increase actually came in, it's quite strong on Thursday. Gold would tank quite a lot, you know, $30, I was thinking, $20 to $30, and then stayed around there, stayed back to like 1650, you know, below 1700 account area. But it didn't. Actually, ran down, you know, a little bit and just stayed back up. So gold is very strong, like I said before. So watch this space. Next is Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong. Short term is a buy, in the long term is neutral. Not much movement here, but I think on Friday it went down quite a bit. And I think today UK is a bank holiday, first May bank holiday. But I think it's gone down another 300 points in Hong Kong. I think it's going to be turning to sell next week, just at the wait and see. Next is Nasdaq. Short term, medium, long term is a buy, so same as Dow Jones. As far as I'm concerned, it's sort of trying to make new high. It's not really, it's just very much like Dow Jones, just like gone sideways a bit. Yeah, MACD's histogram is red for about a week or so already, so we just have to watch this space. I think just the momentum probably is winning. It's not, you know, carry forward at the moment. Next is in Japan, Nikkei 225. Short term is a sell, medium long term is neutral. I think last time Nikkei was, you know, more of the leading indicator of the things to come for all the indices. I think now it's also an indicator for me anyway, for things to come. I think it's slowly coming down or going sideways. Just have to watch and see. Next is silver. Short term is a buy, medium long term is neutral. So it's very much same as gold. Chart pattern wise, you know, silver seems to be better, but we just have to wait and see. I think when gold moves, silver also will move as well, but obviously not as much. The same thing when it's going down, it doesn't move that much as well. But I think overall, silver is going to be a bit more useful over long term because it's just industrial usage. If all this economy is actually recovering slowly, however, gold might just recover a little bit and then go sideways. But silver, I think, probably got legs and last longer than gold movement, but just wait and see. Next is US dollar against Chinese yuan. Short term is a sell, medium to neutral, long term is a sell. That means what? The Chinese dollar is getting stronger again. It happened last 2-3 weeks already. And this is one of the major crosses I'm looking at. And I believe any crosses against US dollars, the British pounds, the euros, the Canadian dollar, you actually seen them actually, you know, got really, really strong against US dollars. It's a bit fluctuating, quite volatile, but overall, it stayed well below the 50 days and 20 day moving average for quite some time. You know, it's a bit like looking at the Chinese dollars against US dollars last year. And I think it just still got legs on that front. So the Chinese dollar in this front against US dollar is going to, you know, continue to strengthen. That means US dollar is tanking. Next is US dollar against Japanese yen. This is another one that I was majorly looking at, but obviously the Japanese yen seems to react better with the increase in the job growth in America. And actually, short term now become a buy, medium term neutral, long term is a buy. So it's somehow weakening, and that means US dollar is stronger, in that sense. But I think overall, Japanese yen weakening in this sense might help the Nikkei to do export, but we just see how things go on that one. Next is obviously the British pounds against Japanese yen. Just like US dollars against Japanese yen. The British pound against Japanese yen short term and long term has been changed to buy, and medium term still neutral. So this sudden big jump of Japanese weakness, Andy Cross seems to be taking advantage of it. But British pound against US dollar, short term is a buy, neutral is medium, and long term still neutral. So it's making headway here and there, but it's not really against the US dollar much. Next is, of course, is Bitcoin. Last week it's in a sell territory for short term, same thing for this week as well. So short term is sell, medium term is neutral, but long term is now buy. Now it's very volatile. You can see Bitcoin go for 65,000 about a week or two ago, and then suddenly it dropped down within a week to like for just below 50k, and then now come back up to like 58, I think, today. So it's very volatile, and for people trading in any volatile share, cross, or commodity, whatever, in this case Bitcoin, you really need to watch out your downside. You know, one evening you can make loads of money, next evening you lose more hope. So we just had to watch out your risk management, mate. Next is iShares 20 TLT ETF. Short term is a buy, medium long term is neutral. So this buy seems from last couple of weeks already, but I think it's slowing down at the moment as basically bond prices is slowing. The yield, US yield, treasury yield seems to have gone up a bit. But we just wait and see. Next is Tesla. Short term is a sell, I said a bit earlier. Medium term is neutral, long term is still a buy. So we'll just have to see how Tesla will go. I mean, it's tried to recover, it has done quite a bit, but then it's just like, as far as I'm concerned, if they have, any company have to cut its price, its product's price, there's something going on in that particular market, and I don't think it's doing any good for vehicles, for cars or electric vehicles in that sense. If Tesla's couldn't really make money, it does show quite badly for other car companies as well, so just watch this space. Next is Australian indexes. Short term, medium, long term is a buy, so it's very much similar to Dow Jones and the Nasdaq, so still continue upstream. Last but not least is Alibaba. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a sell. There's no much change from last week, but overall I think, I said, we just have to break the storm with the Alibaba. Just wait until what the Chinese government actually do. It's quite funny, I think I mentioned last couple of weeks, when Chinese government stamp on all this growth on fintechs in China, people report about quite a lot in Europe, in UK, as well as in America, but when US put more rules, and so as UK more rules on online people can give credit to others to buy things, control the consumer credit and stuff, they didn't say much, and they just say you have to get in line, you have to be managed by the financial services. But when China tried to do the same thing, everybody say, they strive for competition. I think it's quite silly. I think this month and this next 6 months, so to speak, just from the bottom of my heart, watch out on gold, watch out on silver and crude oil. I think there's got to be some big play over there. And on the other hand, then if the US dollar is tanking, then I think all the crosses, major crosses against US dollar is going to be having a field day later in this year. And that's all I'm watching this year. I think all trend followers will probably make quite good money out next 6 months if things go well as I was expecting. But who knows? Like I said before, I don't know what happened tomorrow. I don't have a crystal ball, but just follow the trend following system. When the trade actually turn out to be what we expected, just make sure ride as long as you can. Okay, that's the end of this week's podcast, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye for now, and happy trading. Ciao, ciao.